Are you going to be mad at me?
Yeah, I already am.
Hey, all right.
Well, don't be.
No.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Sissy Boys Podcast. We're back, baby.
Woo!
Let's go.
I'm Matt. I'm so happy to be back.
I'm Dan. I'm so happy to be back.
I'm Cooper. I'm really happy to be back. I'm not going to say why, but Dan, you're mad at Matt. And we're not going to go into it, but Matt, you have to apologize.
I am apologizing, and I'm never telling anyone what happened.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I am sorry.
And you accept his apology?
Sometimes I joke about things that
and you
are
accept,
not funny.
You said sorry, all right. And you accept his apology?
And I am sorry.
I accept
and
your
I
apology.
And I need to be a more mature adult.
Well, here's the thing about you, is that you...
You're not.
You're not. No, you like to be mischievous. Like there's a mischievous part of you that exists. And sometimes it will come up in incredibly stupid moments that don't make any sense.
Yeah. You're like Jar Jar Binks.
I remember in college one time, a girl told me that her grandmother died. And I looked at her and I said, oh, is she okay?
Right.
And she
but that's
crying.
Funny.
She started crying.
Well, she had just gotten back from the funeral.
What was the next thing you said?
She was really upset, and then I just felt like a jackass, and there were a lot of people there. And they were all just like, God, you're a fucking asshole.
I had a buddy where me and him, in private, we're talking about 9/11, and I don't know who came up with it, but there was this idea where it's like, well, as time goes on, like there will be more 9/11 jokes than there will be people sad about 9/11, because as time goes on, like just the way that things work, it's like the Titanic was horrendous, and then now like no one cares about the Titanic.
People die, but jokes don't.
And it's different. Yeah, and it's obviously very different because it's like more of a national tragedy and it was more direct or whatever, but it's like over time people will. And he was like, I wonder at what point there will be so many jokes about it that it will be like, it will have made more people laugh than cry.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
That's an interesting idea.
And it was an interesting idea. And then he told me later at a party, he had drunkenly told a group of people that, and a girl looked at him somberly and said, my dad died in 9/11.
Good God.
And if he had any fucking courage, he would have looked back at that girl and said, the point remains. He should have looked at her and been like, yeah, I know people like you exist.
Right. I was planning on this.
Yeah. He would have looked at her and said, is he okay?
Yeah, he would have said, is he okay?
I heard the story that was about probably the first 9/11 joke ever told, which is like 9/11 was happening, mm-hmm. and this guy is in the stairwell in like the first tower that was hit, going down the stairwell, and then he turns back to a guy he works with, and he's like, hey, I'm gay, and I'm in love with you, and I think we're going to die, so I'm telling you now. And then he's like, what? And then he's like, I'm just fucking around.
That's
and then
really good.
Nobody around him thought it was funny. And a guy on the stairwell told him, like, hey, man, I think this might be a lot more serious than we're realizing. Oh. I probably wouldn't joke about it.
Oh my
and
God.
Neither of the towers had fell, and only one of them had been hit. And this guy was already like, you know, what's the angle?
Wait, this,
on this?
Actually happened.
Yeah,
this is true.
Happened.
Yeah, this is a true story. This is like a
survive. Those people survive?
He survived. That's how he told the story.
Yeah.
But I think some other people died.
And
was it Chris Rock?
It was Chris
Rock.
Yeah,
it was Chris.
This guy had a rough go of it though. I mean, he almost suffocated a few times. But
I famously, there's a story from the Comedy Store. You know the Brian Holtzman story post 9/11, right?
No, I don't.
Brian Holtzman who is an incredibly weird, funny oddity essentially at the Comedy Store. Like, he's part comedian, part like performance artist.
Yeah, he's the last one to go up in the main room, and by his words, his job is to drive people out of the room.
So he says like wild stuff. His whole thing is getting off on saying wild stuff. Post 9/11, he was not allowed on stage for months.
They just didn't even let
Mitzi Shore, the owner of the Comedy Store, did not let him on stage.
That's because he was
so
a wild
funny.
Card.
Because he was
she
such
was like,
a wild
card.
I can't like the possibility of you saying something wild is so high that will get us all like in huge trouble nationally.
What you're saying is that Mitzi would not allow me to have a conversation for months after 9/11.
No, I don't think you're not even close to the level of Brian Holtzman.
Yeah,
in
I
terms
mean,
of mischief.
He goes past mischievous.
He goes past mischievous.
He's not evil. He's one of the sweetest people I've ever met.
Is he on the spectrum?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, he's just hilarious. Yeah. Like, everything he does, even if it's, like, fucked up, is still in the same vein of just, like, random-ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Like, whenever he comes in the Comedy Store, he'll show his vax card to every single person he passes. And, like, he'll show it to customers, and he'll show it to us, who we've already seen it. And then he'll walk through the lot and, like, back up against the wall and then just show his vax card to, like, the 30 feet.
He does this every
day. Oh! He does it almost every time he's there.
I don't know why I didn't bring this up pre-podcast. On my way into Nashville, the plane almost crashed. It was, like, thunderstorms.
You didn't even bring that up. Yeah.
There were huge thunderstorms. And the pilot came on the intercom and he went, folks, we're going to be experiencing serious turbulence. I need everyone in the seats to buckle up. Staff, please buckle up. And there were staff members, like there were flight attendants who were really scared, like noticeably really scared.
Worst sign.
And there was this couple next to me. I was in my row. I was in the row by myself. And then there was a woman who was sitting next to me, sitting over there. Like she moved because it was an open plane. And then in front to the right, there was a couple. And the couple was holding hands, and they were praying, which is not a good... It's like, don't do that.
That's
scary. Don't do that to me.
Okay, well, yeah. Did the plane crash?
That's a good point. They probably did it, but they both took their masks down and kissed, and I started laughing because I couldn't stop thinking about telling them, excuse me, it's a global pandemic, could you please put your mask on?
Yeah.
I just started laughing at that. So I was sitting in my seat laughing, and the only person who's facing me, obviously because we're all facing the same way, is the flight attendant, and she was looking at me horrified because she was like, oh, if the psychos are laughing, the plane's going down.
Damn, like, you scared the flight attendant.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I re-scared the flight attendant.
Yeah, you scared a person who's had to, like, duct tape down a woman.
Dude, I couldn't stop laughing. And then the woman who was sitting next to me who moved her seat before the flight looked at me and she goes, I wish I hadn't moved my seat now. And then I thought it would be so funny to go, I have a girlfriend.
Yeah. What did she mean? Like, I just want to be next to someone?
I wish I was next to someone, which, I mean, if you're going to die, it's like you don't want to be sitting by yourself.
Wouldn't it be funny if you just...
I have a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend. And so I started laughing again, and I couldn't... And so she thinks I'm laughing at the fact that she said that to me.
God damn it.
The Joker, baby.
I mean, the flight attendant probably thought you were an incel who was
totally...
Just like,
you should have...
Let it burn.
When she was like, I wish I had an immovable seat, you should have just been like, yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wish.
You don't know what you got.
You just roll your eyes. You don't even respond. You just go, ugh.
Or you should have said, I'm gay.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm gay.
But you yell it, like, yeah. While the plane is almost crashing, you're like, I'm gay. It wouldn't make any sense.
Everybody kind of, like, reluctantly claps. No, yeah. It was a flight to Nashville. I don't think so. But no, Nashville is actually very cool. Nashville, obviously the city, very progressive. And outside the city has a real rockabilly aesthetic. Do you know about rockabilly?
Yeah, I really don't.
Do you know
like
rockabilly?
I don't love it.
I do, but I'm still like on the plane topic.
Oh, yeah.
I just like the idea if the plane was also still about to crash and you were like, everyone's freaking out. And you're like, excuse me, everyone, it's transvisibility.
Yeah. You guys are scared about this?
But actually, like...
Is this what you're going to focus on right now?
So it was really bad turbulence, but was there a moment where you like actually did almost crash?
Yeah,
like, was there like a free fall moment?
There were two huge drops where everybody on the plane went, ah. And then in the middle, once we got below the clouds, it was actually pretty smooth. And then the landing was so hard, it hurt my neck for 2 days after.
Whoa.
We slammed into the ground. It was like, poof.
So and you were
like... Yeah. It was like a slam.
I wonder if people got like frequent flyer miles or something.
I don't think it ended up being
everyone
bad.
Got a certificate for a croissant.
But
it's
what,
crazy.
What
it's not
people
bad
were
enough.
What people were scared enough were really scared about is there was like a lot of lightning at the time, and then it was like also crazy wind. So there were two things going on at the same time. But yeah, when I saw the flight attendants like scared but trying to contain their fear because they know.
I think that was the same day that Miley Cyrus's plane was struck by lightning.
Oh.
That was a thing that happened just last week.
I didn't know that.
Did you and the other passengers like talk after the flight? Like when you got off, were you
Yeah, there were a couple moments with people who weren't sitting near me and didn't hear me laugh where it was like, good about that.
Oh, but everyone around you was like, I'm gonna,
is bad. You know what was messed up? It's funny, I didn't even really process this. They all did that to each other, but not me.
Like they all got together.
I was laughing loudly. I was like, like openly in my seat.
And you, because you kind of get like a high laugh when you're really laughing. Were you like, ha ha?
There was a little bit of, there was a little bit of high laughing. And it was obviously all, because I was scared too. So it was heightened by that. Like it was a little bit of a response to that. But also the things I was thinking, like the bits in my head, I was just tickling myself with them.
I'll be honest, I wouldn't love that if I was on a flight. But you know what's funny? If I heard that, and I bet other people thought the same thing, I bet I'd be like, oh, that's how he's responding to fear. And I would understand it. But at the same time, I'd be like, I don't like it, though.
Yeah.
I'm really not into it. Like, I understand, like, if you think you're going to die, get through it. But also, can you just cry?
Can you shut up?
Like, could you literally start jerking off other than, because this is weird. Like, if you like, I get it. But laughing.
Yeah. People in the plane thought I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would for sure thought that.
Yeah, I had something to do with it.
Right, like I pulled up the left wing.
I have a fucking curly mustache.
When you know when the plane lands and it, you know, you're going quite fast in the air, but it doesn't feel that fast because there's nothing relative to it.
Right.
But when you land, then you're going at like 100 plus miles an hour, and they have to
More.
Down.
Yeah.
So I always think that is the scariest part when it's like you're fucking just soaring
on the
ground.
Statistically, it's the scariest part too, because those are the two, takeoff and landing are the two most likely parts of a plane ride going south.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you're right too.
When that happens, like I've flown like 1,000 times or whatever since I was a little kid. But when that happens, I used to get so scared, and I started just accepting death every time that happens. And I literally, to this day, when that happens, I'm like, I'll literally be like, thank you for this life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I really am at peace. And then when we don't die, then I'm like, it's good to be alive.
Yeah.
But it really is a moment of peace.
I like how you really go for the emotion. Like some people are like, you know, I just kind of learned to let it go. But you took it to the end where you were like, I accepted death. It's every single time you're on a plane is like a massive moment of enlightenment.
Yeah.
Twice, I guess, right?
Not for me, dude.
Takeoff and landing.
It's just flying.
Not takeoff. Takeoff doesn't scare me at all.
Okay. So takeoff, you're just,
give a fuck about
you're just
takeoff.
Thinking about margaritas and shit like that.
Yeah.
You have big sunglasses on and little beads.
Yeah.
But,
for sure.
But they don't know behind those sunglasses you're accepting death.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Nashville rules. I had a lot of fun. There's a lot of
rockabilly.
Yeah, it's very like, because it's like some people have like sort of hillbilly aesthetic and twang, but they're also like kind of punk rock. It's cool. It's like punk
rockabilly reminds me of Billy Ray Cyrus.
No. It's its own very specific thing.
Drake Bell is rockabilly
now.
Shut
up.
He is.
He is?
That's kind of just all he does. And he's also accused of some sex crimes, I think.
Is Drake Bell?
I was just reading about
that's kind of why I don't trust rockabilly people.
But he is a rockabilly singer, performer?
Yes.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him being a child star and all of the weird, mired history of that. It's rockabilly.
Allegations of assault on underage women, I think.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he was part of Nickelodeon, which was like a farm for pedophiles.
I mean, what is happening? Because you don't hear those stories put together, because obviously you sound like a crazy person if you do. But you hear so many crazy individual things from Nickelodeon in those days. It's wild.
Dan Schneider was just running amok.
Dude.
It was terrible.
Is he accused of stuff?
He's accused of a lot.
Schneider?
I think he was convicted.
Really?
The shit.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, he's the one who produced also like the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
Do you know the pickle guy? Do you remember that sketch?
From the Amanda Show?
Yes.
No.
Pickle guy.
Did he play him?
No, that was his convicted pedophile friend who he put in that and the X-Men movie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, really good.
It's always good to give guys work.
The X-Men movie?
No, this other guy who's just Dan Schneider's friend. Who just happened to be a convicted pedophile.
Have you been like sending scripts to Dan Schneider this whole time?
Yeah. No,
you seem like your mind is
the
blown.
The Amanda show, Amanda Bynes is no joke, probably my like first and biggest.
Oh, yeah. Influence. She. Yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, that was, everything, dude.
She's so incredibly funny. Having her own sketch show at like age 13.
That was ridiculous.
So, I remember from the first age. Do you remember Ask Ashley and all that?
Yeah.
I mean, the comedic timing, the fact that she could switch from serious to funny, like she's incredible. I care so much about her for like, you know, it's weird when you care about a celebrity because you don't know them, but like, good God, I love that woman. I'm so sad that she's going through whatever the fuck she's going through.
She probably did a lot for kids too, because it's like, I think it normalized for really young men at that time, like women in comedic spaces who are also in charge.
Yeah, because she would do like,
obviously she wasn't like actually in, it was like a bunch of producers and stuff, but it's like when you're a kid watching that, you're like, oh, she's like, this is everything for her, and this show is really, really funny.
Yeah.
So I think for like, yeah, like that probably wasn't a big thing for younger generations to have like a real ass sketch show geared towards young kids that has a woman who is the absolute star.
Yeah. Fucking kids have no charisma nowadays. There's not a kid on earth that could do. She would do like a monologue.
Yeah.
She'd be like 13. She would just walk out like fucking Johnny Carson. Be like, how's everyone doing? And like, I mean, obviously it's mostly kids watching it, but I feel like even adults would not even think like, this is a child.
Wait, you're telling me that you don't think that 13-year-old vloggers have that same charisma now?
No.
You don't think the kids who show you how to get bleach tips?
No one can do it.
Have that kind of charisma?
Such a nice, inviting energy. And
yeah. Oh, my
fucking
God.
Asshole.
Did you hear the shit she said about where she was like, me and Drake would fuck before the show started?
Whoa.
She was like dropping like wild shit. That wasn't like, none of it was illegal. She was just talking about like how they would all fuck and like,
well,
I think like do blow or some
not
shit.
Not
like,
illegal, but it does reflect very poorly again on Nickelodeon that they were allowed, like they had an environment in which that could happen.
Oh, so kids can't fuck. That's
no,
what you're saying.
I'm going to make a strong stance that they shouldn't be put in a professional environment where that's a possibility.
You know how long they're on set?
How long?
Like,
do
fucking,
you know?
8 to 14-hour days.
No, that's against child labor laws, isn't it?
All I'm saying
I wonder if they even had child labor laws back then.
It was like 1990.
I think it was even later.
I think they did.
Back then.
Miley Cyrus also like said like she was like high the whole last two seasons of Hannah Montana.
How old was she then?
Whoa.
Probably like 16.
Did you guys watch Hannah Montana?
I fucked with it a little bit, but
I watched
every episode of The Amanda Show.
But it's like, what 16-year-old isn't high all the time?
Me.
Well, yeah, you weren't.
I didn't smoke pot until I was 20.
You were high on being in the closet.
I was high on...
That's a rush.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
How fucking like awesome must your life be to just get so high and then just be like, all right, time to go be Hannah Montana. Like... stoned out of your mind and then just walk onto the Disney lot. Like,
dude, so many kids did that. I'm sure I got high when I was younger and I was like, dude, I'm Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
But she actually got to be that.
Dude, oh my God. If you think about, because you think about like,
I'm
like,
wearing a wig.
You think about like Kanye and like Elon Musk getting together and like doing a bunch of blow together. And like, they're probably talking about like, we fucking run the world. You know, like I always think about celebrities just like, it's so crazy to be fucked up and have coke confidence, but also be one of the most successful people in the world.
Yeah.
And then I just imagine children doing that. Like just Amanda Bynes just being like, I fucking run Nickelodeon.
Did I tell you about but that can be untrue about certain... Did I tell you about the Brad Pitt Angelina Jolie thing in New Orleans?
They broke up.
No.
They did, but when they were together, they...
Breaking news.
When they were together, they went... I was talking to this dude, and he was like, yeah, we ran this super chill dude. He was the coolest dude of all time. And he was like, yeah, my friends worked at a bar that I would chill at after I did music. And it would be me, one other guy, and then Brad Pitt and Angelina, because it was like a really small bar, and they lived in New Orleans for a time.
And
I was like, why did they go to that bar? And he was like, dude, because they're celebrities, so everybody treats them different. And at that bar, we treated them like shit. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, man, we serve all our boys before them. Like, we didn't give a fuck about those white people.
That's so funny.
And they they literally sought out that bar because they treat them like normal ass people.
Right.
And I'm sure they didn't literally treat them like shit. I'm sure they were just like friends with them.
Yeah.
But
did not care.
Yeah, they were like, we don't give. That's a big thing in New Orleans, is they don't treat celebrities different. That's like a big cultural thing there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which also, like, not only are they very famous people, like Paul Giamatti is very famous, but like they're also two of the most beautiful people.
Oh, yeah.
So even if they weren't famous,
it's not even in the same ballpark. It's like you could ask a 14-year-old now and they'll know who Brad and Angelina are.
Paul Giamatti was a stretch. But my point is that there are people who are more famous, like Elon Musk, who's not necessarily a hottie. But like, even if Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie weren't famous, if they had walked in any bar, chances are they're gonna get served before anyone. Beautiful.
Yeah, totally.
It's so funny to look at Brad.
But they're like, we don't care what you look like. You're not famous.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck
you. We hate that your kid's name is Maddox.
I love it. It's just so funny to look at Brad and Angelina, and the first thing that comes to your mind is like, white people.
Yeah.
Like
those honkies.
Yeah, like not like, oh my God, like Brad that. And yeah. Angelina. Like that's a good way
if
of living.
I was,
that's a good way
if
of
I
life.
Was famous for as long as those people have been famous, I would love some playful racism directed towards me.
It's important.
Yeah.
To keep you
Are
grounded.
Are you seeing that you can be racist towards white people?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Is that what you're stating?
Let's get into this conversation now.
You guys like the Beach Boys or what? What's going on? I
don't like any band that has all white people.
Is that true?
No, I love Paramore.
Paramore is great.
I'm just, I kind of do, but that was kind of a joke.
There's nothing wrong with Paramore.
All right.
Except it's all white people.
That's true.
You used to listen to a lot of Paramore, I feel like.
I was, my junior year of high school, I was so into them, and then I went to college, and people were like, what's the coolest thing you did this summer? And I was like, guys, I went to a Paramore concert, and everyone looked at me, and they were like, this kid's a fucking loser. But it was so cool that I did that because I had just come from Indonesia and like I had never had a chance to like really see a ton of concerts.
Yeah.
Right.
But everyone was like, okay, fucking nerd.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're projecting.
I was in a 12-step meeting one time and I was like,
now, do not say a specific celebrity.
I won't. I was in a 12-step meeting one time and you might have to bleep this. I was in a 12-step meeting and
No. Just don't say
to.
The
I'm
thing.
Not, I'm not going to, but I'll just tell the story without saying the person. But
okay.
I was in a 12-step
meeting.
You're
going to say the person.
I'm not going to. Bill Cosby was there. and I was like telling, I was saying like, you know, I'm just like, I was like, I'm really happy with the work that I'm doing. Like, I finally feel like I'm getting to know myself. Like, I'm really confident. I'm listening to shitty bands like Paramore. And then everyone in the chat, it was on Zoom during quarantine, everyone was like, a member of that band is here. A member of that band is here. A member of that band is in this room. And then that person, like, commented, and they're like, what's wrong with that band? They rock. And
so,
it was a person in the band.
So what we did, we asked you to not out the person by name, which, to your credit, you did.
There's a 1 in 5 chance.
You narrowed it to a 1 in 5 chance.
You went from 8 billion
to 5.
to 5.
But also, I said a 12-step meeting. I could have been there for Overeaters Anonymous.
Right.
You don't know what I was there for.
Right.
It's really vague.
It's so vague.
I don't think I violated any moral code.
Okay.
I just like how your version of not outing someone is potentially outing 5 people.
Okay.
For all you know, everyone in Paramore is in Overeaters Anonymous.
I do have a question, which we can double beep if this is weird, and it's because on the point of the Brad and Angelina Jolie thing,
they were there.
There's no such thing as systemic racism towards white people, 100%. But what? And I understand the thing where it's like you can't. I get the argument of like white people can't experience racism, but what do you call
right, but
it?
If you
people call it prejudice.
Prejudice?
That's how I describe it, and it makes sense to me, is that, I know I've heard other people describe it. It's like racism requires like a history.
A system.
Yeah, a history.
And then
and
prejudice
and
be
prejudice,
individual.
I think prejudice is just sort of, you can just be like, oh yeah, fuck that white person. And it's like, technically, that is prejudice. Personally, it doesn't offend
me.
Oh,
that makes
sense. I think it's kind of crazy if you're like, how dare you?
Yeah,
but I think
of
it's
course.
Like, in a technical sense, it's like, well, yeah, like you're kind of hating them just for like an unchosen aspect of their life. But there's nothing behind it, and it doesn't really affect anybody
right.
other than someone being like, you know, I hate being called a honky. Like, that's kind of the extent.
Oh, I mean, there's so many guys out there like
and
that.
Racism gets people murdered.
Right.
Like, prejudice can get people mad.
Uncomfortable for
a
moment.
I don't know, like pissed, tipping. Does that make sense to everybody in the room?
Upset.
All right, the producer.
Yeah.
The producer.
I also think the...
He's laughing.
We lose a lot of ground in the semantics of it.
Totally.
Where someone is... There's just a basic confusion with a lot of wording of things. So, like, say a progressive person is talking to, like, a more conservative person. I don't know why I'm assuming that conservative people are all racist or something, which is not the case. But if someone is saying, like, white, you know, the liberals, like, white people can't, black people can't be racist. And what the white person who is, like, saying, like, they're racist against white people, what he's trying to say is, like, some black people don't like white people.
Yeah.
Which is true.
But that doesn't count as racism in that argument.
Their point that they're trying to make is just like, I'm not crazy. Like, some black people don't like white people.
Right.
And the white liberal is screaming at them being like, that's impossible.
Whereas at the end
of
the day.
Instead of understanding like what the point. What that person's trying to say, they're getting caught up in like, this is the technically correct term.
Where if they hashed it out and actually talked about like the technicalities of it, they probably would see
like
eye to eye.
Like, you two both understand the same thing.
But you jump right into the, yeah, that's some stuff.
But your ego is getting in the way of what you're, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
This is like dicey territory, but the slogan Black Lives Matter is a very divisive slogan because, someone who's saying all lives matter, all of us technically agree with that. Like, all of us agree with that phrase, with what those words mean, all lives. Like, every human is valid.
Sure.
But then when, if you're saying Black Lives Matter, someone who is, like, very obsessed with saying all lives matter, I think technically they both agree with the same thing, but the wording of Black Lives Matter is just saying, hey, everyone, right now we need to really acknowledge that there is, like, a significant disadvantage and racism towards black people, and let's lift that up. But the wording of it really trips people up.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
It's weird that trips people up,
but it's also, like... I don't know. It's the same with defund the police. The ideas behind defund the police, it loses people because the way it's worded.
Yeah, that one I don't. I think that they like it was
because
a misstep.
If you asked anyone, would you be like, I want to redirect funds to like public schools? Anyone would be like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I feel like that was a misstep in branding, because when I feel like they could have just really done something better than saying defund the police, because it's like everything behind that message I think is positive, where it's like, well, you're putting funds into preventative measures, like systemic preventative measures, so it should have just been like fund systemic preventative. I don't know. I mean, maybe you can never win those people over, or like most of them, but it's like I do feel like slogans matter, and when all slogans matter, and that one, it seems to be a hard one. When I hear that slogan, it's like there was no thought of like reaching to the other side with this one. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It's very divisive.
It's kind of like a slogan for the left.
Right.
Like we would go to the marches, you know, and like we would all chant stuff, but like we were the only ones there.
We were the only
like,
ones
we were
there.
Chanting for
but,
us.
But though, I mean,
which is still good.
It's just
it gets videotaped and put out, and then they're like, "Oh, yeah. This is what they actually mean by that." And it's like it would have been, I don't know how, I'm not in the boardroom for slogans, but I think it would have been better like to make something that's more, it makes more understanding that this money isn't just being taken away. It's actually, if your goal is in literal enforcement of the law, like less people breaking the law, which is kind of the goal, then what defund the police literally means is putting the money into like systems that over time, less people will be compelled to do so because they're not in such like dire straits in their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should just call it For the Children.
Yeah, dude.
That's all it is, just For the Children.
Right.
The one slogan that
just call it pro-life.
Just call it pro-life, because it is.
Pro-life 2.
Pro-actual life, not pro-fetus.
Could
pro-life
sue
two.
You for
pro-life
that?
Pro-life 2.
No.
Pro-life
I don't know
two.
If anyone owns that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone does.
I would love to meet who does. It's the parent of a kid who does stand-up comedy now.
Pro-Life 2.
Yeah, someone who owns the term Pro-Life 2 is now doing Silver Lake Open.
Pro-Life 2 is a really funny name for a comedy show.
Man, pro-life, that's you know, not really our thing.
We're done.
Pro-life, too, is pretty. The one slogan that I thought was, like, a little tough for people to get on board with was, kill every single white person immediately. Like, the first time I heard that, I was like, I totally get where it's coming from. Like, I understand where this is coming from, and I understand that, like, you know.
Right.
Obviously, I'm maybe not the one to speak on it, but I did feel like, to a lot of people in the country, that
right.
might have had a...
Well, it's similar to when it got trending on Twitter for, like, quite a while, but punch Cooper in the face immediately when he gets on stage. It's like, I get what this actually means, is put monies into systems that will prevent Cooper from getting on stage.
Yeah.
But what it resulted in was, I mean, a lot of people just kind of took it literally.
Just being violently assaulted.
Like, yeah. Nothing ever fucking changes, because it's like, they put even more money into the LAPD, and I'm still getting on stage.
You're still doing stand-up comedy.
You cannot stop me from getting... And I don't know. I felt like... I felt a little bit attacked when, like, Black Lives Matter, Salvation Army...
Yeah.
Like, Greenpeace, I think,
Greenpeace.
Too. Like, they all started using the hashtag punch Cooper in the face every time he gets on stage. And I was like, I feel like this is a weird...
Yeah, this is... is this what we really want when we step back?
Yeah. Is this weird or is this not? Because yeah. It feels weird to me. I don't know.
It was personally. The only protest in the city where people from all sides got together and were marching.
I still went to it because it's just, like, good to be a part of
something. Good to be a part of the same thing.
When I went to the I went to the Women's March, like, right after Trump got elected.
Mm. And I was like,
and I,
oh, Matt, what was that?
Nothing.
It was a Women's March.
Okay. Anyone?
Matt, could you cough that again?
Yeah, say it again.
I'm sorry. I have a really bad sickness.
yeah.
I just, yeah.
Intolerance.
I'm allergic
intolerance
to supporting women.
Yeah.
But I remember, yeah, we went to the Women's March. I was with my friend. I was like, yeah,
faggot.
It would be good to go. We should go.
You didn't even cough. You said it, and
yeah,
then
you
cough.
Said it, then you cough.
You're supposed to do it in the cough.
Try it again.
What do you? Okay, well, why don't you show me how to do it?
I will not.
Try it. Just try it again.
No one cares.
No, try it again.
You're going to yell at
okay,
me.
Okay, so it's like this. You
why
do
am
it,
I going to yell
Matt,
at
you?
You
do it like this.
Because I have a historical proof of
here,
you yelling
here's
at
how you do
me
you
when
do
I
like,
make you angry.
Historical.
In the words, so you do like, I love all people. Like that.
I fucked Angelina Jolie.
that was great.
Okay, Cooper, what
that
were you
was
saying?
So much
at
better.
The, at the woman.
You weren't interrupting me. I enjoyed that.
Okay, I'm really scared of you.
That's so cool.
And I think anyone who watches this should know why.
I
Is that
hate
why I'm scared? Why you're
why
scared
I'm,
of me?
Yes. No, not you.
Oh, you're scared
you're
of Cooper.
The most unscary person I've ever met.
I'm strong.
Yeah, but like, not up here.
There's nothing worse than an angry outburst
Excuse
word.
Excuse me? Oh, sorry. I went to Christian college. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so smart. I went to Christian college.
I'm sorry. I just learned what biology was.
I went to the best
ago.
Christian college in the world.
Talk about his boyfriend. Yeah. Go at him for that.
I know how to divide a baby. I'm so smart.
Get his ass.
Fucking idiot.
I am very dumb, and I never read a single book.
Yeah,
college.
I know.
You can't do that now. You already offended Dan. You can't self-deprecate now. It's too late.
I 100% believe that both of you are more intelligent than me.
I think you just don't like yourself.
No, intelligence, different people have different skills.
Don't comfort me now.
I'm not comforting.
Buckle down.
Yeah, that's just the truth.
Like, you're
smart in a different way.
No, you're better at talking to people than me.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's a form of intelligence.
Yeah. And Cooper's more like what people think of intelligence. Like, he retains information better. He probably reads more.
I don't really read
And then
that
I'm
much.
Smart enough to know that people just like a strong idiot. So I became that.
I think you're probably the smartest one.
In terms of knowing exactly what lane to be.
At least in terms
you
of
read
yeah,
the
pursuing
dictionary
knowledge.
For fun.
I did when I was younger.
He had to learn how to be a person.
Did you read it yesterday?
No.
Because you were younger yesterday.
Come on, baby.
Whoa.
Come on, baby.
I think I'm pretty good at presenting as smart. But I don't got a lot going on.
Faggot. Okay.
What was the Women's March like?
Well, it was great. I really
enjoyed it. Women be marching.
They do be marching. They were marching as fuck that day. And I was like, you guys got beanies on. And I was like, everybody looks pretty cute right now. No. I was there with my friend.
You're just trying to fuck women.
And I like thought it was, you know, good to be part of the march. And then my friend was there and he was like, yeah, I just want to go to take pictures. And I was like, yeah, man. I mean, we're going to the march. So like, we're going to be a part of the march. And he just kept reiterating. He's like, yeah, I'm just like here for the pictures. And I was like, hey, man. You're in the march. I don't know why you keep trying to tell me that you're not here for the cause. Either way, you are, because the point is just to be here.
Right.
You're here.
Stop saying that.
It's the weirdest place for you to draw that line.
Yeah.
Was he saying that because he wanted to clarify that
yeah.
I'm not a pussy-ass bitch?
100%
going to a march?
He was. Yeah.
Or was he saying that? Okay.
It's
100%.
It's just weird because he's not a guy that's like a alpha male at all. Like, he's really into fashion. Like, he doesn't try to like be and he's not like a conservative, but
is
I think
he
he's just
Paramore?
He just doesn't think about
he thinks
like
he's above it. I mean, like, I know arts people like that who think they're just like above like social movements because of this dumbass like individuality shit that like people think like, oh no, if you are part of any group movement, you're an idiot or like you're not original or whatever. And it's like, actually, that's one of the least original ideas of all time.
Yeah, it was just weird because he wasn't even doing it like aggressively.
Yeah,
like,
I think
there is like that route, but he was just, and I was just kind of
no,
like,
but
yeah,
if you're saying that, if you're like, I just want to be, it's like, does he go to Trump rallies to take pictures?
No.
Yeah, see, so it's like, you are, I mean, that if he was literally doing that and going to like every, like, whatever movement or rally, I would be like, okay, because you have to assess, like, you have to assert neutrality when you're trying to just capture things. But no, you went to the fucking Women's March because it aligns with your political beliefs, but you wanted to be like, oh, I'm not a pussy, so I'm not. Shut up.
Was he saying, he was saying it specifically to you every time, though?
Yeah.
So there's like some, I'm just curious, like, what is going on in his brain. He obviously is insecure and feels like I need to let you know, like, hey, like, I'm aware enough to know that this is dumb that I'm here.
I'm going
to
kick his ass.
And he wanted to let you know that, like, I'm, in a way,
for
it's
women.
Him asserting that he's better than you.
I'm going to beat him up for women, which means it's not toxic masculinity.
No, guys, you don't have to worry. He's
dead.
He's a feminist because he has a girlfriend. So that
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude.
I actually, this is kind of a funny story. I was out to dinner with him and his girlfriend. Which was funny because he's like, is it cool if she comes? And I was like, of course, we don't hang out enough. And
she's
I just kept
not
saying
talk,
that.
Don't worry.
But no, she talked, and then we had a wonderful time. But we were getting sushi in Little Tokyo, and we were sitting at a table that was like on the street, and then the door was like 10 feet away, and this guy walks up with his girlfriend. They're young, and my friend looks at me, and he's like, that guy's name is Jason. We went to high school with him. I really don't know him. I just remember him, and his name is Jason. And Jason is like 10 feet away. And I look at my friend and like pretty loudly, I just go, Jason?
That's so
And then like,
funny.
I didn't look, but he looked over. And at the end of the meal, my friend was like, it'd be kind of fun if we sent him a drink. Like, just kind of offhand. And I was like, let's send him a drink.
Yeah,
so I bought him a Sapporo. And I told the waiter, I was like, just don't give it to him until we leave. And just say it's from Taft. So this guy was just like on a date or like with his girlfriend.
So
he just heard his name and then just got sent a beer from his high school.
So sick, dude.
Oh, we weren't even
there.
He must
have his high school.
Do you think that like made his date a lot better? Because people are like,
no.
Do you think she was like, oh.
I think it was funny. In my head, he couldn't even enjoy it because the confusion would overwhelm the, like, because if you get a gift from someone you don't know in an almost somewhat aggressive way.
Right.
After just hearing your name, because now you're like, that person definitely said my name.
I thought that you were trying to help him on his date. I went on a coffee date.
Fuck him.
This was like right before I moved to LA. I went on a coffee date with a woman that I had seen before, but we hadn't seen each other for a really long time. And on the date, I'm just talking to her. And like, I had already been in comedy, so I was funnier than I was when we were dating before. And I was just like, I was just talking and like, we were talking shit about this guy who had joined the military, and I was just like making fun of him. And this woman, I swear to God, this is like the craziest. So this woman comes up to us like while we're talking, and she goes, excuse me, do you have a second? And I was like, oh yeah, thinking that she was gonna be mad at me because I was talking too loud. And she goes, I just want to let you know, like, the way that you're talking and like how free and expressive you are is really refreshing, and it was really cool to listen to. And then she just walked away.
That's like crazy fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband was like, get the fucking car.
I'll kill. No, no. She was just there by herself. But it was just like, and then I looked at the girl I was dating or I was like on the date with, and she was just so clearly like, wow. And I was like, that lady is a god.
So the girl was into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want me to like come up to you on a date? Actually, just with your girlfriend who you're already dating.
Who already has met
and
you.
And come up in a disguise.
Yeah. Okay.
But like one of those face masks that's supposed to look like an old man, but you can always tell it's fake because of the eyes where they're sunken back. And I come up and I'm like, hearing you talk gets me horny.
Gets me horny.
I just like how like really what that lady's saying is like, I've been listening to you this whole
time. Yeah, I've listened to every word that you've said.
That would really fuck me up because I'd just be like, who else is listening?
Yeah, I don't care. I didn't care. I wasn't saying anything like out of line.
I don't care.
But she was happy to see. It was like more like a comment on like toxic masculinity and how like men aren't like able to be free. Is that
no?
What
I think it was
about?
More. We were in fucking like New Bedford, Massachusetts, and the only thing people talk about there are like, you know, the Bruins and where to get fentanyl. So. Like, just to hear someone who was talking about something different. Or she was just a crazy lady. Like, I don't think I'm all that, like, astounding in conversation to warrant that. I think she was just kind of a crazy lady. But it made my day think, like, oh, wow, this guy must be different.
I like
You've
that.
Absolutely blown me away.
Well, this actually raises, because I'm talking about being on a date with a woman. You've dated a woman, too.
Yeah.
So I've dated, I have a girlfriend.
I have dated.
How long ago?
2 days.
How long ago?
Yeah, when's the last time you dated a woman? Oh, he has to think for so long. Can he really say he's a feminist? If he's,
2012,
if he has to 10 think?
Years ago.
10 no. years ago. The last time he dated a woman, now, you dated a woman less than 10 years ago. I'm dating a woman now. How can you say you're a feminist?
Yeah, really?
Because if you don't even date women.
Because I don't fuck them.
Okay.
So that's the only reason.
We make them feel good.
Want to be around a woman.
I make them feel very good.
By not fucking them.
By not destroying their vaginas.
Their beautiful vaginas.
I respect women so much that I love them, and I'm able to be their friend without an ulterior motive.
So in a way, you're more straight than me and Cooper, because you
Absolutely.
Love women more
yeah, and you
by
guys,
not fucking them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it's gay that you guys won't have sex with men. Well, Cooper, it's gay that you won't have sex
it's
with men.
It's gay that I won't do that.
It's gay that you won't have sex with men.
Dude, my girlfriend wants me to so bad.
Does she?
Oh, yeah.
Are you being serious?
Oh, 100%.
Like in a
she wants me to be
or?
Bi. No, I mean, she said she just think she has said in passing multiple times, you know, if you ever wanted to suck a guy's cock, I would want you to explore
Are
that.
Are you joking?
I'm not kidding.
I love
just
the
like
woman.
At Trader
oh, yeah.
Joe's.
She's the best.
But does she, I don't know if we want to talk about it, but does she watch gay porn?
I don't think she watches gay porn.
I know quite a few gay women and straight women who watch gay porn because of the like intensity and like the equal power dynamic is just like really hot.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Because there's like watching women get fucked in porn is just like watching like a massacre.
Yeah. Well, they film it like
Which
that.
Which I
right?
only watch straight porn. I'm not kidding.
See, that's why you have to watch BBW stuff.
I'm not into that.
Well, it's as far as power dynamic, it's a nice even playing
it's like
field.
It's like a fucking like she's destroying the.
It's
day.
Usually a big powerful woman with a big powerful
I'm into
guy.
That.
Yeah,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
A big powerful woman with a big powerful guy.
Yeah, it's usually
no,
not.
I want to see like
a little tiny guy. They have that too. They definitely have.
I want to see Lizzo on Seth Green fucking
That's
destroy
cool.
his dick.
That's hot.
You know what you should do is the next time your girlfriend says, "I wouldn't care if you sucked a dick," in front of her, what you do is you download Grindr. And then you're like, let me start looking for guys. And then you message with a guy and you plan to meet up and you do all this. And
no, she would like that.
I know. And then you leave.
Uh-huh.
But all you do is you go to Coffee Bean. You get some writing in.
Ooh.
And then you can just do this all the time. She thinks you're out sucking guys' cocks.
Right.
All you're really doing is writing.
Damn, dude. That's the million-dollar player mentality.
Yeah, because your girlfriend hates it when you work hard and write.
And
right.
No
she
one
she wants
that.
You to just be sucking cock.
Yeah, women really hate it when you know self-actualize completely.
Yeah.
And no
we
one
just become
suspect.
That kind of podcast. Just halfway through, we're on episode 11, we're doing great, but then halfway through we just become like, see, women don't understand the million-dollar player mentality.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, most of our viewers are women, over half, so I just have a question cool. to most of our viewers. Why do you think you deserve a top-tier man? What are you bringing to the table?
Can you imagine being that guy, like doing a podcast where all you talk about is, like, see, if you want to be high value, you have to assess that the man is, like, you just literally talk in math terms, but like a crazy person at a, like,
yeah.
It's all, and then, like, you go home and you, like, shower and you wash your face mm-hmm. and, like, you look at yourself in the mirror. What is the thought that comes through your head? You're just like, I figured it out.
Yeah,
or,
you think you're like a philosopher.
Or is there like a dark coldness to that man's life?
I think there's a coldness that they accept. Well, it's crazy because some guys have like women call in. Or like there's this one guy that like a woman
calls
in. Oh, yeah,
what's his? I know what you're talking
and
about.
And she's like, and he's like, she's like, I'm looking for a man that can like work. I don't want to work. And like, you know, like saying like, I want a man to like take care of me. And
right.
then he just goes, how much do you weigh?
Right.
And then
yeah.
and then she
I've
goes and then she's like
guy.
160 goes, "Oh, shut the fuck up." And then he right. just like hangs up the phone and it's like those guys are insane and awful.
Also those women
this.
Calling in must have like a sub kind of fetish or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they want to be clearly if they're calling into that guy's radio show and they know what's coming, they obviously want to be belittled.
Everyone's
like
sad
those specific women. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
the
radio
people,
show is this?
I don't know.
I'll show
forgot.
You the guy. I forget his name, but I know who he's talking about.
Okay. I think the people that are even crazier are the guys that just do like solo podcasts with no
yeah.
one calling in.
The thing
and
about
every week, it's the same thing.
The thing about those guys is also they all copy each other. Like
yeah.
for 10 years, those guys have been word for word copying Patrice O'Neill for 10
Yeah.
15 years, those guys have just been stealing a dead guy's
you
fucking.
Mean they've been copying Amy Schumer.
Right. Because she did all that stuff first.
Yeah.
But and it's like in that community more than any community, there is so much recycling because it's all the same bullshit. There's like three things you can say.
Yeah.
Until it's like. So you have to just keep stealing other people's points.
Totally.
In like the POA shit.
I like. Do you want to finish?
Me?
Were you no?
Oh yeah, in the
my
like
water. You want to finish this whole thing?
No.
Like the pickup artist community, okay. There's so much just like recycling because you're literally only saying like three or four things. There's the guys who are like, you just literally need to belittle women. There's guys who are like, you need to make yourself better and more confident, and here's how you do that. But even within that, there's only like a few. Like, yeah, get a routine.
Yeah, just get a routine.
You can distill all of that into 5 fucking minutes, but then those guys don't get the YouTube views on the hour and a half YouTube documentaries that, like, you know, 17-year-olds like me were watching for, like, a few months
yeah.
of their life, of the saddest points in their
you
lives.
You got to get out of it. And
yeah,
you got
of
out
course.
Of it. I just want to, I'm going to start a channel, and so all the men watching, if you want to fuck...
Yeah.
Don't try to fuck.
Okay.
There's nothing more desperate than someone who wants to fuck.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to fuck someone that wants to fuck.
Hey.
If you see someone you want to fuck, walk away.
Yeah. Hey.
And if they want to fuck you, they'll find you.
Listen to me. Look
I'm
at me.
I'm taking this to heart.
Yeah, yeah. Let me do one. Can I do one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, fellas out there, I know right now you want to fuck women, right? The goal. Right? But here's what you really want, right? You mm-hmm. want someone who can challenge you, mm-hmm. who can make you more powerful. You know what that is? A goddamn fella. Okay?
Man.
So every time you want to fuck a woman, here's what you do. You go on Grindr, you find a guy who's 35 feet away from you with picture of just hole. That's how you become the hottest straight guy in the world.
Can I do one?
Yeah.
Okay. Fellas. I know that you
want to be a little girl with your big ass titties.
Yeah. No,
you
that's
be
not.
A little girl.
Yeah.
If you want to get the pussy, then you got to have the big titties.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
And that's how you do it, boys?
Okay, that was a good end.
I think it would be funny if there was, yeah, if there was a guy like that, but he did it like two femboys.
Yeah.
Where he's like, why do you think you deserve a top tier dom? What do you have to bring to the table? You put a pair of fishnets on? You think you can provide for him?
Right.
You're not a femboy.
There is this guy.
You're a femme fake.
When I was watching
those... You think you're a beta fucking twink?
A femme foe.
I want to see you on your knees, you little bitch.
When I was watching those videos, there was a really, really funny story that this guy, like a pickup artist guy, where I was watching literal like POA shit, right?
What is POA? I'm sorry.
Pickup artist. Like those guys who are like, you have to like STP a woman before you BM it. Like they just have all
what
of these.
What is STP? I don't know.
No, I don't know. They had all these acronyms.
You
got to
BLM
shit.
A woman it's, before you fucking
it's like
stuff the
SEX.
Pussy.
It's these like acronyms that they have with this system that doesn't really work and isn't scientific or whatever.
Gotcha.
But this one guy told a story where
it's
he was
not
like,
scientific.
Yeah, they're in lab coats.
Damn. Okay.
There was a story this guy told where he's like, "Yeah, I was dating a woman." He was like Australian. He's like, "I was dating a woman, and we were in an open relationship, and there was a lot of group sex stuff, which I advise every man to get into because it really helps you explore and open up into your, like, whatever," where it's like, already, don't tell these guys that.
Yeah.
But he goes, and I had this friend, this big black friend. He obviously had to mention the fact that he was black, and he was like, this big black friend who had, like, a huge penis, and I was seeing this girl, and then he fucked her, and I heard him fucking her upstairs. And it really made me uncomfortable or whatever. And then he was like, but then I talked to her and she was like, yeah, you know, he had a bigger dick and like fucked harder and stronger and longer. But I like the way you have sex with me because like you fuck me different or whatever. And I was like, well, that lady was just trying to make you feel good. Like, that's
right.
I might have been
She's
true.
Definitely going to cheat on you.
But that is also what a person says when they did
No, I like that your penis is smaller.
Yeah, she just explained.
Which some people do. I don't want to make it sound like some people don't.
Yeah, no.
But the way that he described the story and then was like, but then she told me, and I was like, first of all, you don't have to mention the guy's race who is doing this. You're clearly trying to paint like a picture where like you're clearly talking to sad, dejected white guys and like literally telling them like you're actually better than like people of other races because you're using your brain. It's like the most racist bullshit fucking like argument of all time. And it just like, listening to those guys, that was the one that I heard where I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I love how racist the core of that argument is because it's like, what he's saying, he's like, no, like, you don't have to worry about, you know, big black men because, you know, at the center of them is, you know, they're absolute animals.
Yeah,
you
literally.
It's like,
yeah.
You just be, all, you know, all he has is like physical, you know.
But it's like, that's when I hear people talk about like the alt-right pipeline. And a lot of people will be like, oh, that's bullshit, that doesn't exist. I'm like, no, that definitely exists because I could definitely see someone watching that video and then going on to like red pill stuff. And now some of that stuff makes sense, like the the racial shit. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it totally exists. It completely exists.
I mean, I can't fuck because, you know, black people aren't civilized.
Right,
you
literally, know, that's
like
what they think.
It's like,
yeah.
All right, well, you've really fucked yourself up now.
Yeah, this is not a good place for you.
Should have just tried to build up a Tinder profile.
Yeah, maybe get some activities.
I mean, if you're watching a video on how to talk to people.
I did that all through college because I was completely, like, de-social. But I didn't know I could just, like, you know, see a therapist.
Yeah, but also it's like if you're going to do that, you know, like watch a couple.
But
don't subscribe to a
guy. It's an example of the fucking broken. I never did. Thankfully, I never gave the people money, which I felt good about.
That's
but it's
good.
Like because they ask. Oh, boy, do they ask.
We have to wrap up.
Oh, well, Matt, you can just go. Me and Cooper can finish.
All right. Last week I did drag and I shaved my face and no one wants to fuck me.
You have a boyfriend.
Yeah. But he doesn't want to fuck me.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Matt LeGrand, everybody.
That was like a top tier interruption because
I
you
have
interrupted.
A boyfriend and he fucking loves to.
Wait, before
fuck
we put
me.
The mic down, which one is yours?
You interrupt.
One.
I'm sorry. I thought we were all on the same page.
Bye, Matt.
I love you.
Ooh, he just got iced.
I think that the pickup artist stuff is so like big and popular because we have a broken healthcare system. And I know that this sounds weird, but it's like
okay.
When you don't have money for therapy, the school system is completely broken and people are completely desocialized because we don't have stuff like, you know, super well-funded after-school programs and like well put together public school systems that allow kids to actually learn how to like talk to each other and stuff. It
I'm sorry.
You're such a fucking attention whore. It's crazy. You have to fucking leave, then leave the podcast.
He doesn't even have a mic, and he's finding ways. Something pan I did this week. I don't know. I've tried to, not drink, but I've still been smoking a lot of weed.
Sure.
In terms of variety,
yeah.
You know, using an arsenal of different lifestyles,
you're mixing it up.
It's been going pretty well.
That's great.
You know, I had some shroom gummies recently.
Something straight I did is I chopped wood in Nashville, but for truly no reason. I didn't have to do it.
It's just totally a thing you do.
It's totally a thing I do. Do we have shout outs this week? Lewis, you messaged it to us.
I saw this one video of a guy that made an axe that was like two axes like put together.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just chop a big piece of wood and it immediately turned into four pieces.
That's sick.
That got me so excited. Guys that routinely chop wood just deserve the world.
They're powerful. Okay, we have our shout outs. MMM Adeline 5.
Honestly, I have a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and it would not be hard to tap them out.
Amy with two E's, Appalatigi.
Amy Appalatigi, I have one question for you. Why do you think you deserve a top tier man?
Oh, Vamara Castro.
Vamara Castro, what are you bringing to the table? What is your income? How much you want to increase it by? What are you doing to do that?
Emily Moore.
Emily Moore, honestly, I really don't think you know the first thing about running a business.
James Lee,
I don't think you know the first thing about running a business either.
Mitchell Bryant,
I don't know. I mean, I respect some of his moves, but, a lot of times I think he's kind of in over his head, a little big for his britches.
Justin Furley.
That guy can go fuck himself.
Soga.
I mean, Soga's cool, but honestly, it's like I just haven't seen him in a while. I feel like they've been acting weird lately.
Yeah. Well, it's good that I was the angry one on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it goes because I got angry last time. So I had to come in and I was like, let's tone it down.
You had to chill it out.
You know, but also energy cannot be destroyed. So there's still the angry energy. So it just flows.
Right.
You know, it's like we're all molecules of water and energy just flows through us.
Right.
And the anger flowed through you
mm-hmm.
and fear through Matt.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening, especially our loyal Apple podcast listeners.
Yeah.
And
thank
our
you so
Spotify
much.
Listeners. You're also valued.
You are top tier men and women.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Woo!